If you will, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, we are finishing up this book, and there's some things here we've just kind of been considering about our brothers and sisters in Christ that are that the brother is leaving a salutation or forwarding a salutation to, and said telling the those that as they receive the letter to say and greet these different ones. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. They're there with the Lord now. They are people just like you and me, going through the same kind of things that you and I face. Maybe our cultures are different. Maybe the technology at hand is different. But the issues of people and life and living life and serving the Lord and trying to mortify the flesh, being obedient to the Lord and His Word, it's all about the same. Okay, it's all about the same. You and I have a great blessing in that we have the entire canon of Scripture. We've got all the Word of God that the Lord wants us to have in the Bible. And so that is a blessing unto us. And of course, in our country, we have freedom. So may we avail ourselves to eat up the Word of God. And I say it that way, more than read, but to study, be a student, to absorb it, to see the interconnection of the Scripture with the different portions, how it all ties together, and just have a greater understanding and roadmap in our hearts and minds about the Word of God, and may our Lord help us to apply it. We left off last time in consideration of this verse number 17 about marking those that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. Okay, and so it's kind of in contrast to what's there. It's laying alongside of what he's told to not despise or not to judge one another on things of self, preferential things or things that we would choose to do that or not do that. You know, the Lord doesn't have any issue with it either way. The example and what he uses in this eating of meat. And so the one that eats the meat, let him not judge those that do not. The one that does not, let him not despise the one that does. And so this whole thing about, we want to make this clear, we do make judgments about what the Word of God says, what the Lord gives us, about what we're to do. And then when we look on at others, our brothers and sisters in Christ, or those that are without Christ, we look on at them, we see that maybe they are not following after that. Well, we're to observe and to learn and always refer to the Word of God, but we're not to torment them, okay? We're to be a good witness and example, but we're not to carry out punishment towards those that disagree with us, or even those that would disagree with the Word of God. We're to be a good witness. And we're to be a good witness to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to be a good witness to those that are without Christ. And so, in these preferential or optional things, we're to go ahead and say, if it is offense, if it causes a stumbling block or offense, we're to say no to self and not be an offense in that. And then he says this about marking those that cause division. So now this is not preferential or optional kind of things, choice kind of things. This has to do with the doctrine, the Word of God, okay? And so here, if there are those that cause divisions or offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, avoid them, okay? And we took a look at all that about some details about that. I want to take a look at just maybe a handful of examples where the Apostle Paul does this. And these may be more or less, but let's take a look at this and just learn from the Scriptures in it. Let's take a look here. Maybe this one would come to mind. And in Acts chapter 15, let's take a look at Acts chapter 15. Here, the first missionary journey has been completed. Paul and Barnabas have gone and made the round that they made in Asia Minor. they look to go ahead and go back and confirm those churches. Verse 36 of Acts 15. And some days after Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname name was Mark. Okay, John Mark. And Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and that was where they were from, if my memory serves me correctly. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren of the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So here, the Apostle Paul, he did openly mark John Mark, and no play on words there intended. But he said, no, he said, we can't take a man that would... leave us and like he did. Let's take a look over here in chapter 13 and see how that was. As they're going through, I believe this is on the front end of the journey as they go out, as they're going outward. And in verse number, Acts 13:13. Now when Paul and his company, okay, so everyone that's going there, loose from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. That's John Mark. Doesn't say anything about it. Doesn't tell any detail. But Luke writes that he left them. And so the Apostle Paul said on this second journey, Barnabas, and understand, Barnabas is John Mark's uncle. He said, Barnabas says, yeah, he'll be okay. He'll be all right. It'll be okay. Paul says, no, I'm not taking him. And they disagreed. It says that the contention was so sharp, they disagreed. And so they went their own way. Barnabas was willing to be more patient with his nephew. And thought to encourage him. Paul said, we just can't take the risk. This is treacherous and perilous enough, and for someone to not stay with it and to be faithful in it as he was not, we just don't need to take him. And so that's the way that was. Now that wasn't a preferential or an optional thing. Those brethren, as they committed and as was purposed and all that, they purposed to go. And John Mark started at the beginning. And they're from Antioch, if we understand it correctly, and he was to stick with it. So the Apostle Paul makes that indication, and Brother Luke, as he writes, he writes that to be the case. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and don't worry, we're not going to leave Mark there, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 1, and so... we come over here, and as the apostle is writing in 1 and 2 Timothy, if understand right, if you get the sense of it correctly, the apostle Paul writes these as he's at Rome. He's encouraging the young pastor and preacher to be faithful in the ministry that the Lord's called him to. I remember Brother Wayne was preaching through these books, and namely through 2 Timothy at the time that the Lord convicted me that I should surrender to preach, and the state that the Apostle Paul's found in here fame has waned because he's imprisoned, and of course his work is from the human standpoint, from the human eye, is more limited because he's imprisoned. He looks like, indeed, if you know, he's appealed to Caesar, and folks that appeal to Caesar, you know, and especially as they would view in his state, he probably won't live. And so there is a sense here that I get from these epistles that he writes to Brother Timothy, and then he writes for the brother not to be ashamed of him and his chain. Because there are some that are, but that's what the Lord had for him, and that was the way what the Lord used for the Apostle Paul to be a witness deep even into Caesar's court, okay, and that was the way it would be accomplished. And so, you know, this work is the work of our Lord, and so even though you know, the Apostle Paul, he wasn't blasphemous in any way or disobedient to the Word of God in any way, but he was a man that was, he became kind of not good to be around, okay, because it was, because of his case. Anyway, he writes here, Brother Timothy, in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, let's read verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. So he's encouraging him. Hold the faith, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. So he's telling Timothy to be faithful to the Lord and be persuaded. Rest in the Lord, trust in the Lord, believe in Him and His Word, what He said, believe what He's given to us, the apostles, that we passed on to you, and understand there's been some that have swerved away from that. What's it mean to swerve? Well, you're heading this direction, and then you make a turn. You're heading the direction that you're supposed to be heading, and when you swerve, you make an abrupt change. Okay, you move, or maybe moving around a thing, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. And of course, having the truth of God's Word and following along in God's Word and then going away from it, that's a bad thing. It's bad. It's bad having seemingly been persuaded of the truth and of the Lord and everything, but because of hardship and things in the world, to turn away from it. Well, we all of us as children of God are subject to do so. May the Lord help us. So we need to pray for ourselves in that and pray one for another, that the Lord would help us, that we would be faithful. We need that strength. We need that help of the Lord. And he says here to Timothy, he marks some men in this, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander. So he names them by name and warns the preacher, Timothy. He warns Brother Timothy, Hymenaeus and Alexander, they've done that very thing. They had the truth of God's Word. They followed in the footprints and the steps of the Lord Jesus, but then they've steered off. They've swerved off. And he says here, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. You know, the apostle wrote to the church at Corinth about the disciplining of those that are members of the church for different reasons. They begin to behave as if they're not saved. You know, they go back to the old things and old ways, public sin that shouldn't be named among the children of God. And he uses that wording that they might be turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. So is this something that he has done as an apostle, or is he instructed a church where they were members that they should do so? Could be, were they members of Corinth or maybe one of the other churches? And he communicated with them and their behavior. He says, whom I have delivered unto Satan. And these men have evidently taken up to blaspheme. And so they're doing those things that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that has been taught and has been given by the Lord. And so he warns Brother Timothy about them. Then we come to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, this is serious stuff. This isn't light stuff. But it is there. It is there. And we are to heed it and to our Lord help us to understand it. And we pray that the Lord would help us so we never have to apply it. But if we do, that we may do so as the Lord would be pleased. And so He commands, he tells the church at Rome about doing so. He says, I beg you, brethren, I beseech you. So he's imploring them for the sake of the future of the church and the church of the Lord being the pillar and ground of the truth and for there to be proper behavior by the Lord's people in the church. Sometimes this has to be done. Then we come here to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's read this chapter quickly and pick some things from it. I charge thee therefore before God, Brother Timothy, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Okay, remember our Savior is the judge, brother. Preach the word. Don't preach your opinion. We do well not to give our opinion, but we do well to give the word of God. Be instant in that word, in season and out of season. He says, as a pastor, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Okay? First time may not work. Second time may not work. Fifth time may not work. Keep on. Just keep on. Keep on. Keep on. You know, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Will we believe that the Word of God will work? Our old flesh and our old man can be tempted that, you know, that's just not going to be enough. The words of the Lord are just, you know, just not enough. But the Word of God is the power of God. And he gets behind his Word and moves with his Spirit and convicts. I tell you, there'll be no stopping the work of the Lord in sinners and in us. And so that's the reason he says, preach, preach it, preach it, preach it. Reprove, which is kind of a warning kind of thing. You're heading down a bad road. Don't go down that road. Rebuke. Well, you've gone down the road and there you are in the middle of it. And exhort. Don't even go down that road. Okay? Stay on that narrow path that is the Lord. With all longsuffering and all doctrine, teaching from the Word of God. For the time will come, and we can say has come, that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And we need to remember that verse as we go to the next verse in Romans 16. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables, a falling away. As he writes the church in Thessalonica, that there will be. We see that in our day. Brother and I were talking just this past week that there is just a dullness in there. There's just a dullness to the things of God. You can't find anybody in Logan County that's not saved. You can't find anybody anywhere that's not saved or that doesn't believe in God. You know, what they say, or that are been baptized at a church. You know, they think that everybody thinks they're all okay. And it is the hearts, as Isaiah prophesied, hearts have waxed gross, and there's dullness of hearing and that. And may the Lord help. He says, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, they shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. The Lord's called you, and you pursue that. You pursue what the Lord's called you to do. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. The apostle believes that it's close to him leaving. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And so he knows, believes the time's getting close, and he's not bragging about himself. He's bragging on the Lord, what the Lord has been pleased to use him in that ministry. He's sought to be faithful, and the Lord's blessed him with faithfulness, and he is looking to be with his Lord. Do thy diligence to come shortly to me, unto me. Listen, for Demas hath forsaken me. Demas has left. He's forsaken me. He was here, but it's just gotten too hard, too tough, too hot, and he's forsaken me. Having loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica. So he went on over to Greece. It's just too tough. He was afraid. Crescens to Galatia. Of course, we don't know if Crescens is he like Demas and has forsaken him? Maybe he has. Maybe not. Titus unto Dalmatia. Brother Titus is written to, isn't he? And he's given a work to do in Crete, which is a difficult work. Okay, you read the book of Titus, you'll see about that. Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Luke's hanging in there. Luke, the writer of the Gospel of Luke, Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, he is staying with him. He's being faithful to be there with the brother and to be a help and a minister unto him in that calling. You know, Brother Luke has been convicted about following along with the Apostle Paul for a long time, hadn't he? To be part of the Apostle Paul's company. He'd been with him a long time. And of course, the Lord used him to write these two books, Acts and the Gospel of Luke. Listen to this. Remember John Mark? Take Mark and bring him with thee. Timothy, when you come to Mark, John Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You bring him over here to Rome. And he can help me. The Apostle Paul, where he had marked in his mind and heart there at the beginning of the second missionary journey that John Mark should not go with them. Now John Barnabas worked with him and the time has passed and John Mark has been found to be faithful to the service of the Lord. He had a time where he fell. He had a time where he feared. He had a time that he was discouraged. He went back to Jerusalem. But the Lord's blessed him with stalwartness and with strength. He's proven himself. And the apostle says, bring him with you. He can help. He can help here. And so that's good to see. That, you know what? When we have failures and faults, fears, and when we stumble, you know, there's help and hope for us, isn't there? There is. If we would go astray, there's help and hope for us to come back, right? And I think that's written for our benefit. And let us not plan on being willful and going astray willfully, presuming against God. But if we do get caught up in things, there is help and hope for us to come back. He's profitable to me for the ministry. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. So this brother was sent by the apostle to go over to Ephesus, over at Asia Minor, and help and minister there. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments. We understand that to be the Word of God, the Scripture. Bring those with you. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. He's marked him, hadn't he? He shouldn't have been doing what he did. Is this the same Alexander that we read about over there in 1 Timothy? Well could be, being written in these two epistles to Timothy. He says here, and this is good for response, to tell the truth. There's nothing wrong with telling the truth. He's warning Brother Timothy, and he says the Lord reward him according to his works. The Lord will take care of him. The Lord will take care of him. We don't have to avenge ourselves. The Lord will take care. He will. And then, of whom, he says, of whom be thou ware also. And he calls Alexander the coppersmith. Was it in business that he did him wrong? Could have been. He let him down. Okay? But listen to this. Of whom that be thou where also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Okay? So is Alexander is Alexander one that has fought against? You know, there's that contingent there at the church at Corinth, seemingly, that stands against the authority of the Apostle Paul for him to minister them as an apostle and to instruct them, to rebuke them and reprove them in the things that are wanting. It was Alexander one in one of those churches that said, hey, you don't have to listen to the Apostle Paul. You don't have to listen to his words. He's not here. He doesn't know the situation going on. We don't have to be all uptight about that kind of thing that way. He's withstood. He contradicted what Paul said, what Paul wrote, what Paul taught. And then we'll go on and read this. At my first answer, no man stood with me. And that's, we understand that to be as he stood before Caesar. But all forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to the charge. When it came time, and there could be those that would go with Paul to stand before Caesar, if in fact that's where it was. I think it's fairly clear that we can understand how that is. Nobody was willing to go with him. Why? Because Caesar could. All Caesar had to do is the whole lot of them are dead. It's kind of like that thing out in Oregon, you know. Lord help us if we're ever faced that man. And of course, he did not understand what Christianity is and what salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ is. I don't believe that he did, but he would just ask people, "Are you a Christian?" If they answered yes, he shot them in the head. If they answered no, he shot them in the leg. And whether they understand or not. You know, may the Lord help us if we are asked such a question. I mean, that lays it on the line. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. And my first answer, no man stood with me, but all forsook me. I pray that it may not be laid to the charge. You know, isn't that the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is. You know, we've seen that out of the Apostle Paul and said, Lord, they didn't stand with me, but don't hold it against them. Don't hold it against them. Wow. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and we always have the Lord to stand with us, and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The mouth of the lion. You know, was that a lion pit there in Rome that Caesar would, and so those that were under Caesar would have pleasure in, just like it was in the days of Daniel there with the Medes and the Persians? Is he talking about Caesar himself? That he was able to preach there in Caesar's court before Caesar the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord preserved him. You know, there's only grace and help when we need grace and help. And we need to go forward and do what the Lord would have us to do. And the Lord will give us what we need right when we need it. Not in advance. We go get groceries in advance of when we eat. You don't get grace in advance. You get it right on time. And the Lord shall deliver me out from every evil work and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so he goes on here, and even in this epistle, to salute different ones, including Priscilla and Aquila, as he writes to them. Back in Romans 16. So, mark them that cause divisions and offenses, those that would sow discord among the brethren, which the Lord hates, those that would be Nicolaitan, people controllers and people manipulators, mark them. And then in chapter 16, verse number 18, we see that he writes, "For they that are such," okay, so those that do these things cause divisions and offenses, "for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ." So that's a reason to mark them, even as some of these that we've read about. "But they serve their self." Demas loved this present world. "And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Deceive the hearts of the simple. In 1 Timothy, let's go back over there. In 1 Timothy, we were down at verse number 20. Let's back up here closer. And he says, these that do this, causing the divisions and causing the offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. You know, we've seen that. We've seen that promoted by some, causing a divide, causing offenses, seeking to deceive the hearts of those that are simple. Those what this is talking about, I believe it's talking about knowledge in the Scripture. Not ability to discern from the Scriptures between, you know, whoever this is that's promoting this, taking it into self, and then be able to go to the Lord and the Word of the Lord to discern whether it's right or not. Okay? I think that's the context. I think that's what's being talked about. He says here to Brother Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. He said, so you need to be an edifier. You need to be an edifier of the doctrine and the Word of God rather than fables and endless genealogies. And other places that say they minister questions, they minister strife. And just don't need to go there. Let's read on here. Now the end of the commandment is charity, love out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and faith not faked, unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, there's that word swerved again, have turned aside into vain jangling. Vain jangling, we don't use that. What's vain jangling? Well, it's a bunch of babble. It's a bunch of random talk. Talking in a circle is a way that I like to understand it. A bunch of words being said, but no point being made. Trying to justify a worldly human position, but not going to the Word of God to see what God and His Word says about it. Okay? They've swerved into that. And Hymenaeus and Alexander in this same chapter, we read that in verse number 20. They've blasphemed. They maybe have been involved with this kind of thing. And so it goes here in this particular case that the Apostle Paul's thinking about. In this case, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. So they're trying to have position and they're trying to teach, but when they talk, they don't take anybody anywhere. And if they do anything at all, they look to appeal to the flesh and what makes common sense. I think common sense can be a good thing, common sense can be a bad thing. Got to watch out for common sense. But they are looking to take people away. As said in Romans 16:18, for they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, they're not, he states plainly, they don't. They serve themselves. And they look to bring people after them rather than after the Lord. And so always watch something, you know. Lord help, I pray it's never the case. If I ever start preaching me, there's a problem. We need to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to all follow the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's given us in His Word. It's all about Him and not about us. It's about us following Him. He's preeminent, as we mentioned this morning. And then, verse number 19 of Romans 16, for your obedience has come abroad unto all. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. He said, the church at Thessalonica was hailed by the apostle and their faith, and the church at Rome is hailed in this way. You know, they've been obedient unto the Lord. They've got problems. They've got some issues. Churches are going to have problems and issues because they got people in them. Okay, you know, we're seeking to mortify these old dead men that we carry around in our backs, and they can't help but they raise up. It happens. It's that way. But they are found to be obedient. Your obedience has come abroad unto all. You're known to be there. He says, I'm glad for you because of that. He's thankful. He's thankful. He didn't have any part of the ministry there. There were others that the Lord sent there to preach and were saved and a church established. And he says, I'm thankful. I'm glad. I'm glad that you're there, a church is there, that I can come and visit and have some fruit amongst you. And as an apostle, be there to teach you and instruct you some more. I've got on you, but that's what we need. We need gotten on, you know, by the Lord. And in this case, the Lord using his apostle to do so. But we need corrected. We need that reproof. We need that rebuke. We need that exhortation. And he's done that. But he is thankful for them. Perfect? No, they are not. Desiring to be perfect? Well, they should be. And the apostle wants that for them. And that's what we need to desire too. And he says, but yet I would have you to be wise unto that which is good. That's the reason I'm writing to you. That's the reason I'm instructing you. I want you to be wise unto good. I want you to have knowledge about good things. I want you to have wisdom about taking that knowledge of good things and have wisdom to put it to work for good things. I want you to be exceptional at that. I want you to be most wise at those things. I want you to be simple. I want you to be ignorant concerning evil. I want you to not even know about how to do evil things or say evil things or go an evil way. As the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ, these are the same words that our Savior gave there to the disciples and to the 12. Behold, I send you forth, Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Man, what a discipleship promotion pitch line, huh? Hey, you follow me, I'm sending you like sheep and amongst wolves. But see, this is the work of the Lord. It's not the way that we work. This is the highest calling. This is the highest blessing, to be a child of God. And the blessing that we have of being saved and in this, one of His churches. What a blessing that is. I mean, it's a blessing and a great thing, greatest thing, to be saved. And then the Lord's been pleased with us to not only save us, but put us in His church. That's who He's talking to here. He said, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, you don't see a dove doing anything but eating corn and weed off the side of the road. You don't see a dove attacking anything, do you? I mean, the old foxy fox would come along and steal dove's eggs, and dove just let them. And that's what we're called to be. That's what our Lord is, wise as serpents, wise concerning that which is good, and simple concerning that which is evil. Verse 20, and we'll close. Verse 20 in Romans 16. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. I wonder what that's talking about. In Genesis, right? Genesis 3, the Lord says and uses this, uses similar language, and I will put enmity, Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity, speaking to the woman, speaking to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That was given back at the beginning, right? And what the Lord said regarding Satan and the snake and the seed of the woman, and the apostle writes, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. You know, we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't we? Does that mean that we've got a heel? You know, the Lord's our leader. And we are His children in His church. And we understand that typology given in the Scripture that we are His body. We're members in particular, but we've been fitly joined together. And it sounds like that the apostle is prophesying that the Lord was going to use them to be a witness, and maybe there'll be some saved there in Rome that would just really be a shaking of things up, maybe. He says, "The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." We'll look to finish up this chapter here next time. We want to take a look at Brother Gaius down here and see about that. Also, Lucius, and just check in on that. And then a few verses here at the end that are very well put.